Hi listeners, welcome to Soundvibe. I hope you've been enjoying the different episodes, and thanks to those of you who've dropped me a line and sent me an email or left a rating on your pod app. In this podcast episode, I speak with John Day, who is a bass player and an arranger from the UK. I first met John in 1990 in Porthcawl on a jazz course. You'll hear him talk about his musical life, his gigs, his arrangements with a big band. So sit back and enjoy the show. And so I'd like to welcome into this studio space John Day, who is a bass player and an arranger from the UK. Welcome, John. How's it going?
Hi, Jane. Great to see you and speak with you.
Yeah. And where are you ringing in from?
I'm calling in from southwest part of England, County of Somerset.
And before we get into a deeper conversation, let's hear your piece, your arrangement called Strasbourg.
Band Joe on trumpet, the trumpet feature. The band is the Dean Big Band, based in Taunton, capital of Somerset, and the full title is Strasbourg Saint-Denis, which I believe is a town. Sounds French to me. Strasbourg Saint-Denis.
It's such an uplifting and beautiful piece of music, and I listened to it several times at home yesterday. And how many are in the band?
A full band, there are five saxophones, four trumpets, four trombones, and the rhythm section is piano, bass, guitar and drums, and a male and a female singer. 19 full lineup, yes.
And what's it like to arrange for all those different instruments? How do you do it?
Well, the challenge in that piece, for instance, is it's a very short sequence, eight bars, which repeats itself. So the challenge as an arranger is to try and keep it interesting, because the chords are the same throughout from start to finish. And there are things like the main tune, then the piano solo, then a trumpet solo. And my job is to try and keep the interest different each time to make it interesting, because it's such a short sequence repeated, just eight bars.
It's funny that you should say that, because when I listen to it, it just to me grows and grows and grows, although it's got this lovely sort of grounding root chords or riff behind it. So I really enjoyed that factor.
Thank you for saying it grows. That's the plan, I think, to make it interesting rather than just the same eight bars round and round the same.
And have you known these musicians for a long time, or was some of them new to this band?
I've known the band since 2015 when I went to see them in Trout Taunton at a gig, and I introduced myself to the leader, who's Rowley. I gave him my card and said, if I can help out on bass anytime, let me know. And Rowley said, you're an arranger. We need you. We need you to write some charts. Some stuff we can't get hold of. And since then, 2015, the various band members suggest numbers which they would like to play and me to write for them. And that's kept me pretty busy.
How long does it take you to write an arrangement?
Good question. Depends how complicated it is. My early attempts were too long. They went on for 7 or 9 minutes, perhaps. And Rowley said, no, we're going to have to cut bits of this. It's too long. So he wants pieces which are 5 minutes max. So that's what I do now. About 4 or 5 minute charts.
I see.
Some are more difficult. Some are quite easy. I go for the chord sequence. That's what I work from. And then put the various instruments to play it, the lead line. I would say about 2 weeks to get the basic format to decide on all the instruments the following week, then print it out and try it in rehearsal. There's a deciding thing if it's going to work or not, whether it sounds good when it's played. Because when I do it on Sibelius, that's the program I use, the playback is not good. The saxophones are not sounding like saxophones. I call it the kazoo section. That's that rubbish. The brass are pretty good, playback, and the rhythm section. So whenever I hear real instruments play it, that's when I know either this is going to work or it might need some tweaking or editing a bit. It does vary. I would say about 3 to 4 weeks each chart.
That's quite something, very, very intricate work that you do. Well, we're going to move now into your next piece, which is Scaravan. Can you tell me just a little about how this one came about, John?
A version of the tune Caravan, Juan Tizol, trombone player, and Duke Ellington wrote it together. Juan Tizol is a trombone player who played in Duke Ellington's band. And they wrote it together under the name Caravan. It's quite a well-known piece and recognisable. And I thought, well, let's try a little bit different in a different rhythm, in a ska rhythm. And I renamed it Scaravan. That's the reason for that. And the piece moves between, it starts in ska, moves into swing for the bridge section, then back into ska again. And that carries on during the band solos after this tune has been played. So it's an alternating ska rhythm, swing rhythm, ska rhythm throughout.
Was this the same band or was it a different band?
The same band, they're called the Dean Big Band, but the people in it sometimes move on to other bands, or we have to find a new member. That happens fairly often. We've recently had to have a new trombone player, bass trombone player. The previous one moved on. But various instruments, like a sax player or Kelly on singing. We didn't hear Kelly then, but she's been with the band about a year now. So we various members of the band do change and move on. We have to find replacements to keep the band up to its full strength. A lot of the players are teachers, music teachers, and they play in bands, not just this band, various bands, like myself. They play as a freelance and come together. The Dean Band rehearse weekly, Sunday mornings normally, play gigs as often as they can.
How did you first get into music, John?
I like to listen to music, and I've often wanted to join in. So I started off on acoustic guitar. I was interested in an advert in a local paper. Local group needs a guitarist. And of course, that meant an electric guitar. So I had to go to the local music shop and look one out. The tuning's the same as an acoustic guitar, as you would know. But that took some little bit of practice. And I went to an audition with a couple of other guitarists and got the gig. Now, when we started playing gigs, this was early days, in the early 70s, the bass player, his name was Andy, said, I'm leaving you guys, I'm joining the army. So he left the band and somebody had to take over on the bass. So off we trot to the local music shop and borrow a bass. We knew the guy who ran it. He was our friend, and we're all friends for all the musicians in the area. Borrowed a bass at a local music shop and practiced with it, with the band, and at home. I took to it. I thought, I like this. I like this instrument. So I still have an acoustic guitar, but I play bass more now. Certainly on gigs, yes. I'm a bass.
What kind of music were you playing in the band?
That was what they now call cover band, where you play composed pieces, usually in the pop charts, probably the Beatles, Rolling Stones, The Who. They're now called cover bands or tribute bands, but we weren't composers, and nobody was a composer.
And you studied music at college.
That's something which came about when my day job ended, became redundant at the end of 1993. So 94, I went to an audition at Leeds College of Music, quite a long way away. I got a place and moved up. The course didn't start until the following September, 94. So I'm practicing at home. And during the summer, I had to find a place to stay in Leeds because it was a full-time course for 3 years. And I stayed in the area of Leeds called Headingley, which is very close to the cricket ground, Yorkshire County Cricket Ground. And that was a little shared flat with about four other people. And that's where I stayed for the 3 years of the course. It was fun up there.
What was it like to be at university?
It was a college. It was linked to the Leeds University only in that we, on the final year, we went to the university to have our diplomas handed out. Otherwise, it was separate from the College of Music, and the university were quite separate.
What was the name of your course?
The official name was Jazz and Contemporary Music. We went for the jazz. The contemporary music was something we had to do, but it was more classical, plinky-plonk music, we called it. Classical composers, I think, experimental. But yes, it was a 6-day week course, and Sundays was day off. I used to go in on the bus from Headingley to the centre of town, where the college was. It's now known as the old building. I don't know what it is now, probably something completely different. That's that we were in there for 3 years. Nothing was done in the building. There's things, paint coming off the ceilings, and it was getting a bit dilapidated because nothing was done about the old building, they call it, as they were moving to new places there.
So it's quite scenic pretty. Then.
You could say that, yeah.
And I wondered, did you have quite a balance of instruments on the course?
Oh yes, that's all instruments.
Right.
The saxophones were the most predominant. Brass, trumpets, trombones, flugelhorn, which is a type of trumpet with a warmer tone. Rhythm section, guitars, bass, including double bass, drums and keyboards. Singers, there were singers there. Each instrument had their own tutor. One day a week, we had one-to-one tuition with, in my case, a bass tutor. The tutor changed each year, a bit more advanced in the second year, more advanced in the third year.
Did the singers and the musicians, and I know singers are musicians, or musicians are singers, did they have a good connection? Because I don't know, but from my own experience in doing a jazz course, the singers were not always seen in the best light by the musicians because they thought we were a bit lazy at times with our processes and maybe not learning music theory in the traditional way. And some of us were quite instinctual in our improvisational processes rather than theoretical. So I wonder what you had to say about that.
Well, there was a separate vocal tutor for the singers, and they had their own practice rooms. So that was separate in that way. But playing together, either in the lunchtime sessions, that was more informal. We could get together and just play jazz tunes or jazz songs in the bar, student bar. And in the evening sessions, when they happened, it would be more informal and everybody would get together just to enjoy playing. But the more formal part of the course, the modules in lessons, that was more separate. Certainly the singers and the players.
That's interesting. It sounds like it was set up very well. And I just know from my time in meeting you at Porthcawl in 1990, where I did more singing than guitar playing because I was a bit too lazy to learn all my theoretical parts, that you were very, very supportive of singers and indeed of me too, which I really appreciate to this very day.
Oh, I would support any instruments.
Yeah.
You've got to know your stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
What I would say about singers is not all singers know their best key for a song. And you can try a key for on the seat music. It might be in the key of B flat or something. And that key might not suit a singer. Well, the main reason, some are male, female, different ranges. So you have to find the best key for whoever's singing.
You've done quite a bit of educational work and jazz weekends, Easter weekends, autumn weekends, and the music and drama jazz course. And of course, I met you at Porth Call on the jazz course there. So with these jazz courses, is this something you've been doing for quite a while? And how do they work? Who comes along?
Very similar to how we worked at Porth Call, in that there are tutors who take bands through the day. On the weekend ones, it's usually two instrumental bands form with a tutor each, and a vocal group with their own tutor. So three bands who work in rehearse in different rooms, our own room, where we can leave our instruments gear set up for the usually 3 days. And again, it's more informal in the evening sessions because it's residential. And once the lessons are over, the practicing with the tutors, we get together after the evening meal, for instance, for an informal session in the bar again. you won't find a musician very far from the bar. And I would say never stand between the musician and the bar. You'll get trouble.
And what type of people are attracted to the courses?
People like myself who play either full time or part time and want to get to meet other musicians, because they come from not just UK, from Europe and US, all over the place to these courses, especially the summer one, which lasts for a week. And I booked for one in Cardiff this year. That's in July. That one attracts, because it's a week long, it attracts people from quite a wide area, not just UK. But they're all run on a similar way. In the tutors lead a band. In the weekend one, it's usually two instrumentals, as I say, and a vocal tutor. And the vocal tutor would play piano for that, the singers. And in the week-long one in Cardiff, there are many more tutors, about 10 or 12. And so there are many more bands formed for the week, because that lasts for a week. And we each have our own practice room where we can leave our gear set up for the week. And that's our home for the week. And again, we do our sessions with the tutor, who suggests pieces to rehearse. And in the evening sessions, it's more informal. We can get together and play, get to meet the other people on the course in the other group, and just play.
And do people play a wide range of music throughout the jazz era, or is anything particularly popular?
Well, we usually start off with jazz standards, which are tunes which most of the people there would know. Not many which would become standards over the years because they've been made popular by lots of bands playing them. Ladies of Tramp is a very well-known standard.
Does it include any sort of more modern pieces? I don't know. I mean, does it? I don't think neo soul can be called jazz, but thinking of like Erykah Badu and people like that now, would anybody play any of those pieces, or is that?
I did see Erykah at Love Supreme a couple of years ago. I know her music. You know, it's quite different. Unless one of the singers was an Erykah fan and brought along some music or charts, perhaps, even just chord symbols. That's the only way we would be playing Erykah's music.
Yes.
Yeah, very rare, I would say. Very rare. More common would be Ella, Sarah Vaughan, Billie Holiday.
Yeah. Yeah. And just talking a bit more about your other work, you've done quite a few musicals, The Rocky Horror Show.
Well, yeah, that's right. That's where a theatre company, production company, decides on what they're going to perform, and they have to go through all the formal processes of applying for the permission from the copyright owners to perform for that week. And there are strict rules about if another company is performing the same show, it can't be so many miles near because it would split the audience. So they're under strict rules about which show they perform. And once that's decided, then the various roles are take place, like the producer of the show, in my case, the musical director of the show, who picks what instruments are needed to play in the band and how many. So the musical director is someone who I would be responsible to on a production and a theatre show. And that band gets together just for let's say it's a show lasting a week. We meet for the first time, usually on a Sunday, to run through the music. The first time we meet as a band, and we've been sent the music, so I would be sent the bass part about 3 to 4 weeks beforehand by the musical director. And that's hired from the copyright owners in the shape of a book. Or more up-to-date, so they send it by PDF. That's the more recent way of doing it. And I get the bass part. And we meet for the first time on a Sunday. And then there's a dress rehearsal and a technical rehearsal where all the lights and sound balance is put right. So it's usually on a Monday. And from Tuesday till Saturday, then that's when it's a show. And the audience is seats are sold for those other performances. And possibly two on the final Saturday. So that's the way a week ran.
Quite an intensive process.
It is. And as I say, that band is only there for that week. And at the final curtain, the people who do the backstage, they get rid of all the, open the curtains and get rid of all the scenery. The band pack up our gear and go off to wherever we live and wherever our next gig is. And that's the end of that band until next show.
Have you had a favourite musical that you've done?
My favourite musical is Guys and Dolls. Mm. It's quite a funny script, but I like it because the music and the songs in the show and the script of it, the story, fit together so well. It's a great story, lots of funny characters in it, and there's a love and romantic interest. And the music is so fitting for that show and story of it. Another one is West Side Story. That is a difficult one to play. The music is very difficult, especially in the timing of it. That's what I call an edge of the seat show. You know, the band are on the edge of the seat.
Yeah,
wondering,
yeah.
Is this going to work?
Can you tell me a bit more about your bass playing? Because you mentioned when we spoke last week for a little bit that you changed to a 5-string bass. Why was that?
That was a connection with a show I was booked for, and it was called Sister Act, which was previously a film starring Whoopi Goldberg. Yeah, when I got the part for the bass part, 3 or 4 weeks before the show was booked for, I noticed that the bass part went down below bottom E. Here's my 5-string. The 4 normal G, D, A, and E, the same as the double bass. And now I have a low B. And that's what I needed to play the bass part for Sister Act. And so that's why I decided to go for a 5-string.
Yes. Do you think it's hard to have a personal life and be a musician?
Yeah. Especially long-term relationships, I've found. When I was at Leeds, I met a lady and we got together socially. She was an artist, not musical. She enjoyed music, but she was an artist. We were happy together. In fact, during my final year, I said, I'll be moving back to Somerset at the end of when I graduate in the end of July 96. And I was up in Leeds longer than I thought. I didn't expect that. I thought I'd be back in Somerset. And what I'd already decided before I left for the course, that I was going to come back to where I am now in 3 years. So I got arranged tenants to come in through an agency, and various tenants came in over 3 years, which helped pay the rent for my flat in Leeds. But I was in Leeds longer than 3 years. It was about 10 years. And then, we split up, and I went back to Somerset. Though it's not easy to, after my course ended, this is more personal stuff, not musical. I was available to play on cruise ships, holiday camps, anywhere, especially long contracts, usually lasted for 3-6 months. Holiday camps for a year. So that's what I did.
Another thing is, do you have any advice for aspiring musicians and bands?
Rather than try and learn yourself, go to someone who knows that instrument, who plays that instrument, ideally professionally, and can guide you through all the pitfalls and dead-end streets you can get into in trying to learn yourself or from a book. There are tutor courses online these days, which weren't around when I was learning. So that's helpful these days. But I would go for one-to-one tuition rather than try and learn yourself. That would save a lot of time and get you doing things the right way, whatever your instrument.
Yes, I would agree with you. And I think sometimes the connection that you build with that music teacher or music tutor can be very powerful too. I know some of my music teachers have been hugely influential, and like family members as well as teachers. So in the end, lifelong friends. Listening to John Day, a musician and arranger from the UK. You might like to check out another episode, or leave a rating, or drop me a line at mysoundvibe@outlook.com. Thanks ever so much for listening in, supporting the show, and I look forward to sharing another episode with you very soon.